Welcome to Food Bites with Sarah Patterson and Kevin Hillier.
G'day, welcome to Food Bites with Sarah Patterson and Kevin Hillier. I'm all chocolated out.
Yes, you had your fill of your buns and your bunnies.
And your chocolates and your...
You had the ears off a nice red tulip rabbit.
Why do we... One of the funniest cartoons I've seen of recent time is the two rabbits, one with its backside... one with its backside...
Eaten out.
And one with its ears gone, and one says, my bum hurts, and the other one says, what?
That would appeal to your sense of humour, Kevin.
Oh, very sick but very funny. Yes, why is that whole 4 days of Easter all so food-orientated?
So much so that it affects your brain and you forget what day of the week it is, as we have.
Correct.
But we do know, one thing we do know, Kevin, is we have a top-notch guest this week.
He's a ripper. Everyone knows I'm a rugby league fan as well as an AFL fan.
I love a bit of NRL, especially when it surrounds the Melbourne Storm.
Oh, they're one of the best teams. Value for money, if you're a supporter of the Melbourne Storm over the years since they started, you've got so much value for money. The other week, they pulled a win out of a part of their anatomy that is impossible, and it was just one to savour.
I've always thought the Melbourne Storm do a great day out from a supporter point of view. It's always a wonderful display.
Yep. The fan interaction is terrific. Yeah. The players are all good talent, all terrific people, and we've got one on the program, Chris Lewis. He's been around the club for a while now, coming up to his 50th game.
He's one of the elder statesmen.
Well, he is. He's got a claim to fame that we'll talk to him about that probably is one he's not all that pleased with, but I don't think he'll ever lose it.
So you're going to love his bat story, and particularly for me. I won't give too much away, but his wonderful parents, who are so proud of him, and how they became involved in his pursuits when he came down to Melbourne to play for the Storm during COVID lockdown.
Yep.
How they got to help out on one particular day.
His NRL debut it was, and it's a very special occasion. You'll hear all about that. Now the food poll. We're going to put Easter to bed. Easter is going to bed.
Another polarising one, because it was bun against bun. It was the fruit hot cross bun up against the chocolate variety.
And we put it up, obviously, on Good Friday, right when everyone was thinking about, you know, whether you're going to have the hot cross bun.
It went off.
Yes, it did. So you'll find out whether it's fruit or chocolate or what it is. That's all coming up. But let's get to Chris Lewis from the Melbourne Storm, our guest this week on Food Bites.
You're listening to Food Bites with Sarah Patterson and Kevin Hillier.
Chris, you are a heck of a long way from home, from where you were born, in beautiful downtown metropolis of Melbourne. How is life treating you down here?
It's good down here at the moment. Playing footy, we're getting a few wins. It's been a good little stay away from the farm for me. It's been good.
Well, let's talk about the farm and your farm upbringing. Now, your parents these days, Mick and Pauline, they run a Wagyu cattle farm in Ashford.
They do. So they were always running that when I was growing up. My dad was a school principal and mum was a head teacher. So we used to go to school in the morning, and I spent the whole 13 years of my schooling there. We'd go to school and then in the afternoon we'd get in the car and go out to farm and feed the cows and fix the fences and do all that sort of stuff and then get home. And that was our routine, and that was where most of my weekends were spent. So it kept me pretty busy.
Have you got a great knowledge then, Chris, when it comes to Wagyu beef and why it is considered superior quality type of beef?
I don't know about a great knowledge, but I've got a little bit of a knowledge. It comes down to the marbling in the meat, which is the little fine fat that allows that when it cooks out, it leaves the meat nice and tender. That's the essence of it all. And then getting higher rates of marbling and fineness of marbling, and then the size of the eye muscle area and all these sorts of things leads to a better quality steak or better, bigger cuts of the best cuts of steak you can get.
For someone who didn't reckon he had a knowledge of it, you sound pretty pretty au fait with it all.
Yeah, I know more. I probably know more than most people on the street, I guess.
Absolutely. So what was on the table when you were growing up as a kid?
Quite disappointingly, not that much Wagyu steak. It was too much. Dad said it was too nice for us to eat, so we used to get the cheap cuts. But no, we do occasionally. If we had a cow that had some sort of, we used to sell all our cows to the feedlot, who would then sell them on. So if there was something that had a spot on it, or it missed a tail, or it had something wrong with it, we wouldn't be able to go to a feedlot, and we'd be able to take that one home and put it in the freezer. So that was a good, good couple of months for us after that.
When you came down to Melbourne, Chris, for the first time, and you got accustomed to life here and the cafe and the coffee culture and all of that, was it a shock to the system? How did your dietary habits change?
I do love a coffee, so I go to Tiki Monkeys in Richmond almost every morning. Yeah. So that's tough to go back to not having that. So. I go to a lot of cafes down here. Rowena Corner Store around the corner. Lovely little Greek touch to it. I love that sort of stuff. I think anywhere in Melbourne that you go to, there's great Italian food all down Lygon Street. A lot more options than I'm used to, but it's really good, and it's really good to get out and sort of sample all the different wares that are available.
Can we explore that coffee culture that you're into? Do you drink instant, or do you draw the line at, I've got to have it made for me properly?
I'm such a snob about coffee. I'm such a snob. I refuse to have the instant stuff. I'm like, if it's not barista made, I'm not interested.
Wow. Well, we find that too with the AFL players and the cricketers we speak to, that the coffee has to be top notch. They just won't do the instant. It's almost like among elite sporting people, there is a really elite sort of coffee snobbery.
It's a real thing. Like, I know it, and it's horrible. Like, I went to Scotland in the off season. My fiance is from Scotland, so I went over there, and I could not find a decent coffee anywhere, and it was killing me. So I was on Reddit trying to find Australian-owned cafe in Scotland so I could find a decent coffee.
For those who aren't aware, Chris, the NRL journey for you has been a long road. I mean, you were basically in teaching high school history when it really kicked off for you. Tell us about the journey.
Yeah, so I finished school when I was 17. I went down to Wollongong and was in their, developed the Dragons development program down there. And I did my ACL. I did both knees when I was 19 and 21, and just had a shoulder reconstruction, and things went horribly. But during that time, I was at university studying to be a teacher. And I just sort of chipped away at that while I was playing football. And I just sort of kept playing for fun. And then I made it up into the New South Wales Cup ranks. And then I got recruited into the Dragons top squad for the first 6 months, I think I was in there. And I sort of realised I wasn't going to make it at the Dragons. So I kicked up and went to the Sunshine Coast. I went out there for a bit better surf, a bit better weather conditions for me. And I started teaching up there, teaching history and English at Caloundra State High. So I did that for 3 years, and then eventually I got recruited down to the Melbourne Storm, just sort of on a low-level contract, just to come down and sort of cover, because they've got a relationship with the Sunny Coast Falcons, where that's where their reserve grade plays. So I came down after 3 years. I was 27 and 360 days when I made my NRL debut, which is pretty old in anyone's language.
Well, aren't you still the oldest Storm debutant?
Yes, I am. I believe I still have that record. If I see any good old players, I try and take their knees out before they can.
Hey, Chris, that debut must have been it was during COVID, and there was all sorts of different things going on in the world, but it must have been nice for you, the way that it was engineered, I guess, for your mum and dad to be there when you made your NRL debut.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild story. Mum and dad were both not allowed to be at the game as spectators, because at that time there was no one there. So the club organised for them to be ball retrievers, which is like not ball boys. They weren't allowed on the field, but they were in the stands and throw the ball back to the ball boys that were at the ground. So it was pretty funny, because my mum, she's not got the best vision, so she was struggling to see when the balls went missing. And then dad's got, his knees are all no good, so he has to hobble up and down the stands chasing these balls.
That is a beautiful story. I mean, it must have just been so exciting for your mum and dad.
Yeah, I think they were really over the moon. I mean, they supported me a lot, as well as feeding me high-quality steaks as a kid. I grew up in the middle of nowhere, so to play a game of football might mean a 2-hour drive out to a town and then a 2-hour drive back. And I had to drive to training, an hour round trip every time to get to football training, and I was doing that 3 times a week. So they'd spent a lot of time, you know, invested in me just having a bit of fun as a kid, and that sort of turned into a career. So it was lovely to have them there to see me debut.
I fed you lots of lovely high-quality steaks, just not the Wagyu ones.
I got a couple of Wagyu ones, but, you know, not many.
Listen, let's talk about the dietary requirements of an NRL player. What do you do pre-match and what do you do after-match?
Yeah, well, after-match is pretty – I sort of give myself a free pass after the match, so I sort of have just sort of whatever I want, whatever I'm craving, so something high in protein, but usually like a – if there's a little bit of junk food around, I don't mind eating it after a game, but like a pizza. I think we went to a really nice Asian, there was a duck going around, wasn't it? It was beautiful, those duck pancakes. We went to a really nice Asian restaurant in Newcastle, so that was all you can eat. That was brilliant. So
there's a dangerous sort of an all you can eat in an NRL rugby league team running into the venue.
Yeah, we had them looking worried for a bit. They were heading back into the kitchen. We had them on the run.
What about a sweet tooth or any guilty pleasures, Chris?
I actually don't have much of a sweet tooth. This is my I think it's my saving grace because I absolutely love eating pastas. That's my So I always eat pastas during the week, and I have I do enjoy a nice steak. So I'm probably not the cleanest eater during the week, but I manage to avoid gorging on chocolate. That's probably my one saving grace.
Mate, these days you play on a Thursday night. We've got Friday night games, and you've got Saturday afternoon games, Sunday games. How do you sort of balance your week up as to what you're going to do?
Yeah, it's a bit weird because we, like I said, we change each week, but we work backwards from the game, so. If we're playing on a Friday, we'll have a captain's on a Thursday, day off on a Wednesday, and then our big day on a Tuesday, and that just sort of adjusts each week. So you sort of, it's weird, but sometimes I don't know what day of the week it is. I just know how many days until the game it is. So I try to match up what I do, you know, from the, for the meals. You know, if I'm having that, what meal I normally have on a captain's run, I have on the captain's run each day. I try and work it back that way. So, It does get a little bit messy, especially if you're traveling, you're on a plane, and you know, it is you sort of, you don't really have the best diet options on a plane, but sometimes, you know, you just do the best you can.
Are you a tight-knit bunch at the Melbourne Storm? Do you have people there, your mates you're closer to than others?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty tight group. I think it's a bit odd with the Melbourne Storm because there's not a lot of blokes from Melbourne, and a lot of blokes will move down from Queensland or New South Wales, and we're sort of bonded together. We don't have a lot of, you know, none of us have a lot of friends down here, so we do hang out a lot, in our days off. I play a little bit of golf to try and keep myself entertained. I play with Jonah Pezzett, who he's a lot better than me, which is not good, having a little whippet like that, beat me around the golf course.
And do you sit around sometimes and go out and just have lattes together?
Yeah, we do that. have you got the heads up about that?
It's just what I hear, that coffee is a big part of the NRL and AFL culture.
It's a huge part of NRL culture. It seems weird, but yeah, we'll often finish training and we'll go down to, you know, a lot of the boys live in Richmond, so we'll just go down and pick a cafe and sit down and sip a latte and have a chat about the world, put the world to right.
The other thing that AFL players talk a lot about, Chris, is meetings, the amount of meetings they have these days, which is the NRL the same? And what are meetings like when you've got someone like Craig Bellamy taking them?
It's funny because we have a lot of meetings. They're different. You know, if you're playing in the middle, you've got a meeting for that. If you're playing on the edge, you've got a meeting for that. You've got a defence meeting, you've got an attack meeting, you've got team meetings. So yeah, we do have a lot of meetings. But Craig's a little bit more relaxed than what you see on game day, which is good because he'd be having a hernia if he was like that all the time. But he's actually never shouted a meal. I've never seen him buy a meal in his life. He's worth millions of dollars and he's have all these meetings. He's never bought us a coffee or a meal or anything. So.
Oh, there you go. there's the scoop.
he wouldn't be able to find the kitchen in his own house either, I'm sure.
What about you in that department, Chris? Are you a bit of a cook yourself? Do you get a chance to muck around in the kitchen a bit?
I consider myself a chef more than a cook. I try to be a little bit more creative, you know. Mm-hmm. Forge my own path, create a few horrible meals. But
what's your signature dish?
I mean, like I said, I do love pastas. So I've got a, I think like every Australian, I've got a version of a bolognese I do, which is which is, I think, is the best ever. So I love working with it, like a little sofrito and frying it down and then deglazing, all those sorts of processes. I'm a big fan of trying to get an authentic Italian pasta.
Oh, that's serious stuff if you're deglazing the pan. You are a serious chef.
Yeah, I know. I recently learnt that word, so I thought I'd chuck it in.
Is one I prepared previously.
I'm trying to make a carbonara too with my other. I've read the Italians make it with a guanciale, and I've been fiddling around with that, so I'm trying to nail that one down. That's this week's task, is trying to nail a carbonara.
They make it Kevin just looked at me and I looked at him. They make it with a what? Is there an ingredient there that we didn't get our heads around?
Guanciale, it's a pig cheek.
Pig cheek?
Ah, yeah, there you go.
Do a pig cheek and the fat reduces out of it and creates a creamier sauce.
Oh, yeah, that's almost scientific. Yeah. Never mind your beef cheeks, we're into the pig cheeks.
A bit like Wagyu. The melting point in Wagyu fat is lower, I think, and it allows it to come out quicker, so... I've got a little bit of experience in this area, so I'm sort of messing around with the meat types here.
See, now you're just showing off.
Yeah, but it's funny, Chris, because Kevin is a big steak lover, but he balks at the idea of Wagyu because he says, oh, well, it's fatty. And I said, well, no, it's marbled. Can you explain to Kevin why he should try a Wagyu steak?
Well, this is more flavour. I mean, that's the general essence of it. It is a different flavour. I would say that it's like, If you put an Angus steak next to a Wagyu steak, you could taste the difference. You might not like the difference, but there's a definite difference. It's like if you ate 500 grams of a Wagyu steak, it'd be like chocolate. It's quite rich. It's quite, you know what I mean? You'll feel it. It's like heavier in your belly. So
yep.
You might not like it, but there's a definite different flavour to it. Yeah, it is a different type of fat. So you might just give it a whirl and see how you like it.
Yeah. I got to ask you, have you ever been on the field or seen a better try than Xavier Coates' try to win that game for the Storm a couple of weeks back?
I don't think so. I've been there for some pretty cool games, but that was a crazy finish and a crazy try. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. I was on the bench and I was sort of borderline depressed. We were down by two tries with 5 minutes to go, and then, you know, thinking about where it all went wrong, and then all of a sudden we scored one try, and then Xavier pulled that out, and it was incredible. I've never seen it like it. I still can't believe it.
Is that the key to the Melbourne Storm, is that you never give up? You're never out of a game, no matter where or what time is on the clock or what the situation of the game is?
Yeah, I guess so. I think the idea is to have that confidence in the process that, you know, what you've done works, and I think you should try and, you know, you're trying to do something different. When you've spent the whole, you know, pre-season and all week preparing a certain way, you've just got to try and execute, you know, that for the whole 80 minutes, and hopefully, you know, your luck will turn and things will come good. I think that's sort of what the club's built on, just hard work and sticking to your guns. And, I mean, we tried to put those plays on all through the game, but the Warriors were just better than us for the you know, 78 minutes. But then it all comes together right at the end and we managed to pull it out of the fire. So I guess that's the essence of the Melbourne Storm, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you said you'd never seen Craig Bellamy shout. Have you actually heard him shout, though?
Oh, yeah. I've heard him shout from extremely close range right in front of himself.
Oh, now, just to usually to finish up, Chris, we like to ask our guests if they have a kitchen or a cooking tip to share. Do you have one of those?
I've got two.
Oh.
First one is just buy a rice cooker. If you're cooking rice, it's so much easier. Just get one of them. They're really easy. And the second one is spend some money on a decent knife. Get a sharp knife.
Yeah, that's good advice. That is really good advice.
Hey, Chris, best of luck for the rest of the season with the Storm, mate. It's been a great start. Let's hope it's a great finish as well. And thanks for spending some time with us on Food Bites.
Thank you.
All right, thanks very much for having me.
You're listening to Food Bites with Sarah Patterson and Kevin Hillier.
All right, they've got games Thursday nights, Friday night. They've got that big Anzac Day game coming up as well.
I thought that was a beautiful story about his parents being the ball retrievers.
Fantastic. Just fantastic.
How sweet.
And that's the one thing I have to say about the Melbourne Storm publicly, is they're one of the best run organisations going around in terms of looking after their people.
Families.
And looking after the press and making sure that you know what's going on. They're terrific.
Certainly are. But, Kevin, might I just say now,
how's
nice buns. Nice buns you've got there.
Thank you.
Yours too. too, Kevin. Yeah. No, but we're doing buns for the food poll this week, and given we've just come out of Easter.
Yep. So we're going to, mind you, the 2025 buns are probably already on sale.
Yeah, already.
Which do you prefer, chocolate or fruit?
I don't like either. I like apple cinnamon hot cross buns.
Oh, okay. Right. I'm glad I asked.
I'm not a hot cross bun kind of girl.
Okay.
What about you?
I like them both, but I do probably the chocolate one would just get my
vote. See, I pictured you being a bit fruity.
No, not me. But old Croaky might be. Why don't we find out if old Croaky is?
Well, I'll start with old Croaky. We love old Croaky. He says, chocolate hot cross buns, they are sinful,
yes,
Kevin.
Yes.
However, I'm sticking with the original and the best fruit hot cross buns.
Amanda says chocolate.
Kate Fitzpatrick, the wonderful actor, says fruit.
Sue Landry says fruit, please, but none of the ghastly peel.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like the peel.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Same with fruitcakes. Mervyn Hughes, the great Mervyn Gregory Hughes. Oh, chocolate hot cross buns are the best.
And he will have tried several of them. Terry Daniel says, the fruit one, thanks. There's so much chocolate available in other forms.
That's true. Silvana says, as much as I love chocolate, I have to say I prefer fruit ones.
David has sent us an essay. It says, if the hotties are a good quality local bakery type with fruit, then they're all good. The chalky ones, well, give them a light toast and then a short microwave so the chalky goes all nicely warm and gooey.
Oh, okay. He's got chalky chops there. Yeah, it might mean chips.
Yeah.
Gooey chalky chips. I love a gooey chalky chip. Chip chop. Tomato, tomato. Rebecca says chocolate.
Kerry says fruit, of course. Who would choose the abomination that is a chocolate hot cross bun?
Rachel, she says, Kerry, I would.
Yes, exactly. Deb Murphy says, I'm staying with the tradition. You're a hot cross bun heathen. She was referring to me.
Yes.
That. Thanks very much.
Muriel says fruit all the way.
Eleanor says, I'm a traditional girl, brought up on the original fruit hot cross bun. Nothing can beat tradition.
Stephen Quatermain says fruit, please, but I'll take real chocolate over hot cross buns. Okay.
Fair enough. Michelle says, look, to be honest, I absolutely despise hot cross buns as a baker. It's the worst time of the year, and ever since they started bringing them out 2 weeks after Christmas, it's a joke. I would help my father and brother bake them. We go for 3 days straight to get all the orders done. I haven't actually had a hot cross bun since my father retired.
Oh, wow. It's a good point she makes too. Because you kind of merge the whole Christmas and Easter tradition.
Oh, there's no such thing as a season anymore.
Lauren says, fruit ones for me always. As much as I enjoy chocolate, I can't bring myself to partake in the weirdness of chocolate hot cross buns. Don't even get me started on plain ones. Oh, okay.
Right. Lee says, look, it's got fruit in it, so it must be good for you. That means I can have seconds.
True. Stephen Raitman says, chocolate and only from Elstonwick Coles, baked in-store. And kosher too.
Mark Stevens says, I'll have the chock, thanks. Controversial, but the chock for me.
Davin Nicholas says, I would have to say both.
Caroline says, definitely fruit. It isn't chocolate. They're brown.
Oh.
What does that mean? I struggled to work out what Caroline was trying to say there.
She's just saying they're coloured brown. And she's questioning whether they have any chocolate in them. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Jane Holmes, got to be fruit, cut in half and toasted. Yeah.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
The voting, and now surprisingly for me, both did not poll as well as I thought. Only got 9%, so didn't crack it for double figures. Chocolate got 25% and fruit, an outstanding winner, 66%.
Well, just goes to show that when you mess with tradition, it doesn't always work out for you, but there you go. We love our fruit.
And the 2025 hot cross buns will be available probably tomorrow in stores around the place. It is. People have a watch on when they come out.
Mm.
It is too early. Mind you, or do what I would do, have them on sale all year round. Who cares?
Written, spoken and authorised by Kevin Philip Aloysius,
now,
Eugene Hillier.
That is Food Bites for another week. Next week, I'm telling you, it's massive because next week is not only the home and away marriage to end all the wedding, to end all weddings.
Are we heading to Summer Bay?
Yes, we are. We're going to Ada Nicodemu,
who has a book out. Leah Patterson herself.
Yep. Well, she's getting married next week on the show. And she's on this. She's not getting married on this show.
In true soapy tradition.
Yes. So we're going to have her on to have a chat about her food journey and her new book and her wedding on television and home and away and a whole lot more.
She's a lovely, lovely person.
It'll be fun. Yes. We'll see you then. Any chocolate left?
Not after you've been here.
Thanks for listening to Food Bites. Check out our Facebook page for recipes, tips and all the latest news. That's Food Bites with Sarah Patterson and Kevin Hillier.